Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your goodness and for your mercies that endures forever. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the Elohim. Thou hast crowned them with glory and with honor. Thou hast put everything under his feet. Thank you for this privilege to be called sons. Thank you for this privilege to constantly learn at your feet. We bless you once again for this holy convocation, for this gathering, for this feast. We thank you, Lord, because you will unveil yourself unto us again. And we are going to see ourselves in you as we are exactly. Your name be praised forevermore. Amen. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord God, our Redeemer.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name. Please take your seat. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Please take your seat. Take your seat. Hallelujah. I guess I was hearing us sing a Usa song or something. Is that true? Hallelujah. Are we prepared? Are we prepared? Alright. I want to do Bible stuff. I trust the Lord to bless us. In Jesus' name. Alright, before we continue, I like to open our eyes to something very basic. It's very basic, but it's instrumental to our growth. Is instrumental to our advancement in the kingdom. It's very important because of gathering every now and then is not enough. Alright? God expects that we gather. But much more, he expects that as we constantly converge, we give ourselves wholly and totally to the instructions that comes forth. Alright? He expect that we give ourselves to the counsels, to the doctrine, as long as they are in synchrony with the Word of God, synchrony with the written Word of God. Very important that every time we converge, we are giving to what the Lord is saying, right? The gospel will not profit a man who is not doing the gospel. Do you understand it? The profitability of the gospel is largely dependent upon the doing, right? It's very key upon what? The doing, right? So, if a doctrine is going to profit a man, if a doctrine is going to be instrumental to a man's life, it's very important. It behoves on the man that man constantly does what is kept, constantly does what is released. That's when we can maximally profit from the world that is proceeding. All right, it's very important. There's no aspect of the gospel that is as important as the doing aspect. I hope you're aware. All right, because we can constantly gather to gather knowledge, all right, to give ourselves to the knowledge of the scriptures, and yet we are denying the powers thereof because we refuse to do. All right, so we must ensure that every word that is speaking to you is actually carried out. That's when we can gain stature. That's where we can gain and lay hold maximum on what the Lord affords. It's very important. All right, it's more important than your giving. Are you following me? It's more important than every other sacrifices. It's more important than our activities. Very, don't be carried away. All right, it's good to be activities conscious, as long as it is in tandem with what the Lord is putting in your custody. Is very good, all right, that you are carrying out activities, you are walking up and down, you are like the matter generation, all right. But unfortunately, if that matter does not incorporate the possibilities of Mary, that person is doing in vain, all right. Is that clear to you? I'm not speaking in parable, right? I'm speaking plainness and openness of speech. All right, it's very important. There's no aspect of the gospel that is as important as the doing gospel. Very important that we hear the word and we practice. Are you following me? All right, the practicable aspect is or should be at the apex, should be at the zenith, that the word of God comes to us and we ensure that we are putting it into place, we are putting it into practice. We live daily by the word, we move by the word, we breathe the word, we inhale, we exhale, all right, we live our lives by the word, totally by the word, all right, and nothing much or nothing else should override that reality. Okay, so that would not be a bunch of knowledge carriers without functionality. All right, without functionality, we must be practicable. Is that true? We must be practicable. It's very important. All right, it's just as though you went to learn a professional work. As an artisan, or you are into artistry work, you are a sculptor, and what have you. Alright? The knowledge you gather in that place is not as important as the practicable aspect. Is that true? Because you can gather a knowledge as a sculptor, and yet you cannot erect a statue. Is that true? So that knowledge is actually deficient. The knowledge is impotent. Do you understand it? This is one thing that makes us different, especially people who went to school. All right? You see that many persons say, I'm a mechanical engineer. And that's what we learned in school. That's the truth. But unfortunately, when they bring you and the person who didn't go to school side by side to begin to practicalize what you know, you will know that your knowledge is not enough, because it's as though they know more than you. All right? You know names. It's not important. All right? They can overhaul a machine. They can couple it. in few hours, all you are just saying is, you are saying, let's go to the drawing board. Hello, sir. We want to see what you can do. All right? We want to see. Stop telling us, you know, when you couple this, show us. Are you following me? Do what? Show us. The knowledge. The knowledge is not the best. Mind you, it's not the best. All right? The knowledge is important. However, not as important as incorporating the knowledge. All right? Institutionalizing the knowledge that men can see. Nothing pays more than the doing ministry. All right? There's something the preacher said. You know the preacher? Do you know the preacher? Who is the preacher? Solomon, all right? You know, he scribbled Ecclesiastes. Is that true? Let me show you a verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. What we are doing today is basic, all right? But as basic as it is, it's very important in our Christian journey. All right, but please prepare for our next video. All right, I'm going to teach something powerfully again. Yeah. Just be prepared. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Are we there? All right, let me show you something that Brother Solomon said that is powerful. It might look subtle to you, but it's very powerful. All right, verse 1 alone. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Hello, sir. Hey, can we learn from a preacher? Hello, can we learn from a preacher?
Yes, sir.
All right. Oh, be aware that what is talking about is not a novice. It's not alien to some things. Before he eventually became the preacher, there were things that he went through. He went into a lot of errors. All right. Married several women, did all manner of things that are atrocious in nature. All right. Now, a time came that when they were going to open the book of Ecclesiastes to us, he says the preacher says. He now began to show us that vanity upon vanity, all is what. Is vanity. He began to mention a whole lot of things, and all that he wrote was traceable to his experience. All right, so he began to show us something striking. He says, keep thy foot when you go to the house of God. All right, I don't have a problem with the theory of we are the house of God. All right, yeah, are you me? Whether you anyone that they say, but the point is, as long as we co-locate, we are also the house of God. All right, so there's a corporate persona of the house of God, and there's also the individual persona or what the, because it's something that is an argument that is going on there. The you can't say that the believer is going to the house of God. All right, the believer is the house of God. Hallelujah. I don't have a problem with that, but the problem is that when we gather, we are also what? The house of God. Are you okay? Okay. You know, many of us too, we are looking for knowledge everywhere. All right. We want to gather knowledge. You know my pain. My pain is that let me see what you are gathering. I want to see your life. All right. So running from coast to coast, from this place to this place, just go, hello, sir. let us come back and see. As you come back, let us see your life. Do you understand it? Unfortunately, in our time, people cannot stay again. Where is happening? If it is happening here, it's happening here. Damn. It's happening here. Flashes of light. You are just, as long as the light is, if it shines in 8 places, 10, 100, you know now, some young people, all right, they are running after a kind of person now. They say, this man is odd now, it's odd. Don't worry, give them few years or 2 years, they will see another odd person. Say, that's the next person. That's our generation. Oh, you are not aware. That's our generation. Our generation is running after the odd person, all right? Someone, if you can even give word of knowledge, say, Papa. Say, how can I increase my stature in hearing God, in seeing? Amen? No, when that ministry nosedives, they will still go for another person. It means that you are not consistent. Do you understand it? No loyalty, no patriotism. You are just running after. Let the person. Or let. Alright. So, the preacher says, when you go to the house of God, keep thy foot. Alright. And it says that, be willing to hear more than to give the sacrifices of fools, for they know that they do evil. For they know not that they do what? Evil. Alright? So, it's bringing us to a very important knowledge that the most important aspect of any church activity, any church service, is the hearing aspect. Is that true? Listen to me. It's not even the giving. The giving is important. Alright? But your giving can become the giving of fools if you don't pay attention to the hearing of the word. That means your giving can be manipulated. Yes. Because it is expected that your giving is to the degree that you listen. Is that true? You know, some people that this thing we speak to most are those who bankrolls the ministry. I said, don't worry, you just keep, I will keep paying, alright? God is saying, no, we don't only want your money, we are also interested in your life. You must ensure that you sit down and you hear the word. You must sit down. Are you me? You must do what? Don't just give money to support ministry. Come, sir, and sit down to learn the word, to hear the word. It's an important, a prioritized aspect of the kingdom that you constantly sit down and listen to the word. Do you understand it? There's no way you can grow if you don't hear the word. Your growth system is tied to your hearing ears and to your listening eye. Your growth system. You cannot grow beyond the word you learn. Are you me?
Yes, sir.
You can't. So the preacher says to us that you ensure that you hear the word. Somebody say, hear the word.
Hear the word.
You sit down. All right? It's a culture that we must build. Are you following me? We must build that culture that when the word is going on, I want to hear. I want to stay. I don't want to merry-go-round or what. You know, you cannot see me hear the word and be moving. In fact, I even hate distraction. When I'm studying, when I'm hearing the word, there's nothing you can do. All right? I will ensure that I'm fully concentrated. Do you understand it? Because I pay attention to words a lot. I pay attention to my studies, because those, the time that you are using to distract me, it might be the time that I wanted to catch a revelation from the word of God. Are you following me? So you must pick, you must sit down to hear the word. All right, that was a reality that was displayed via the life of Mary. Mary ensures that she sits down and listens to the word. Very important in our journey. All right. So the preacher says to us that we prioritize this area, this aspect of life. We prioritize it. We ensure that when we go to the house of God, there's something that you must go to learn. And that's the word of God. All right. You are not concerned about the jamboree aspect. There's something you are going on, whether you are going for church services or you are coming to meetings like this. There's something that you are going to touch, and it's the word. You must sit down and do what? And hear the word. All right. But this is the preacher speaking. There is an advanced revelation. All right. Listen to me. When it comes to revelation, there is a progressive measure. All right. So revelation is progressive. Revelation advances. Revelation increases. All right. Listen to me. There's a layer of thing. There's a layer of reality that you latch upon today, that when you come back again, it would have skyrocketed. No, it does. Listen to me. It does not mean that it will be detached from the revelation. Listen to me. Listen, there's a foundational and basic principles in scripture that you cannot add to it, and you can neither remove from it. All right, you can't. Are you me? So you don't say that the Lord is giving me a revelation, and the revelation cannot be traced to what is written. No, sir. Are you with me? That's what we are going there today. All right, we are going there today. So when Jesus came, Jesus began to introduce us to another layer. Yes, the preacher tried. He told us a layer. But Jesus, when he came, he introduced another measure. So Jesus says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. The only thing the preacher told us is that we hear. Are you following me? But when Jesus came, Jesus brought a twin dimension. A twin. It was a singular dimension that the preacher laid out. But Jesus said, that is not enough. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and also doeth them, it shall be likened unto a man that buildeth his building upon the rock. When the sun comes, when tempest wind comes, that man will be standing. All right? His building will be unshakable, unmovable. Why? Because it's not only hearing, it's also doing. Are you following me? But there's another man that is not doing. He called that man foolish, because that man built upon the sand. When wind comes, when tempestuous wind comes, the house that he thought he built all these years, we experience a sinking. Are you following me? That means it is dangerous not to do. Yes, it's dangerous. Because what Jesus told us is that if you do not do, what you can build for 10 years, it will collapse. Are you following me? If you do not do, it's not enough hearing. All right? If you do not do, the building that is decorated, that is aesthetic, and what have you, that building can, within a twinkling of an eye, become appalling. That when people see, they say, no, this is not the building that we saw in the first place. That was what happened to the temple, all right? when people were talking about the glory of the latter house, those who had been there for long, they were crying. It's like, if you had known how this building was before, your shouting is not enough. Because the building that we have previously is much more better and beautiful than what you are seeing. So a new generation came and they saw another thing and they were joyous. But the people who had been for long and they knew how the building was from the inception, they began to weep. Two generations of people. The weepers generation and the laughter generation. Are you following me? Whosoever, Matthew 7, that's Matthew 7. Whosoever heareth this saying of mine and doeth them, that person shall be likened unto a man that builds his house upon the rock. Alright? Of course, you know that any house that is built upon the rock is more safe, right? It's safer. So Jesus says, upon this rock I'll build my church. Alright? It's not referring to literal rock, actually, alright? But I'm just using that as an example. Right? It was built upon. So a rock is actually a revelation. Are you me? Rock is what? A revelation. I will build my church upon this revelation. And the gates of what? Of hell shall not prevail. So rock is what? Is a revelation. The revelation of the word. That means there's the same way that there's a dimension of the milk. Is that true? There's a dimension of the meat and the strong meat. Strong meat belongs to them who are full of age. Is that true? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God, which is able to make you grow. Is that true? So we must understand this. You see, the thing is, the more you hear the word and thus you do the word, the more your growth is sustained. Your sustainability is dependent on your practicality. Are you following me? Your sustainability is dependent upon your practicality. The more you do, the more you are sustained. You see, look for a man that falls constantly. That man does not do the word. Yes, I can say this emphatically. I can say it over and over again, that when I see your life inconsistent, when I see your prayer life inconsistent, I see your giving life inconsistent, I can deduce from your life that you are doing less of the word. Yes, you are doing less. You cannot do more of the word and you'll be inconsistent in life. It's not possible. That layer is not given in scriptures, that a man does the word and that man is deficient. No, sir. No, sir. I'm sorry, I've not started my teaching. I'm just trying to whet our appetite. But possibly I might continue like this, alright? Because a well is welling up. Are you following me? If you don't give in to the doing of the word, you will never gain mastery. You won't. Are you following me? There's no occasion for you in scripture to gain mastery if you do not practicalize what you listen to constantly. Alright? Is a mystery and is a law in the spirit. The law in the spirit is that what you behold constantly, you become. Is that true? This law is littered all over the face of scriptures, that as long as you constantly behold, as long as you constantly hear the word, you will become it eventually. There's nothing you can do about it. You will become an edifice of what you are seeing. Of an edifice of what you are hearing, an edifice of what you are doing. Are you following me? You are seeing the world, you are hearing the world, you are doing the world. Is a tripartite reality in the kingdom. Are you following me? You must give in to the doing of scriptures, the doing of the world. You are not better off than a madman if you don't do the word. Yeah. Are you following me? You are not. Can I tell you the simple truth? You are not better than a prostitute if you do not do the word.
Because what we see about your life is that you are dispensing head knowledge. You are not dispensing life. Oh my God. Oh, you are not aware that if you don't do the war, you can't dispense life. What gives you the capacity to dispense life is the doing aspect. It's not just the hearing, all right? When you begin to do, you now begin to experience a dispensation of life. Are you following me? It's a law in the spirit that when you behold, you do what? You become. Don't be familiar with it, all right? When you do what? We all beholding as in a glass. Is that true? As we behold the glory. The Bible says to us that we become that we are beholding. Are you me? We become. See, do you remember Jacob? This was the mystery that Jacob applied under the Old Testament law. Are you following me? When Jacob was in Laban's house and he was about exiting, do you remember that there was a bargain that as I will be leaving, there will be some goats and some animals that when they are speckled, every speckled animal becomes mine as I'm leaving. It was a bargain. And Laban said, no problem. Amen? This guy engaged a mystery in the spirit and it worked for him. Such that every morning, he looked for a stick that was speckled. A speckled tree. Right? Every morning as they eat food, that means as they feed from the world, all right? That's an example. As they eat and they behold the speckled tree, the Bible says well, they were transformed into that image. Amen? As they beheld the tree, the speckled, they will eat like this. And before them is a rod, a tree that was speckled. As they eat and they begin to look at the tree, the Bible says what, that they were becoming what they were seeing. So at the end of the day, he had successfully mass produced speckled animals, all right, such that when he was leaving, the mammoth dimension of animals that were speckled were more percentageous than what Laban had, because a man engaged the mystery of sight, the mystery of what you see, you become. When you behold it, you can do what? You can become it. It's littered all over scriptures. Can I tell you? Whatever is prevalent over your life is as a result of what you see constantly. What you give yourself to constantly. Is that true? Can I be sincere with you? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some of us, your addiction now is not because the thing just came on you. No, it's over the years, you have been beholding it. Are you following me? Over the years, you have been giving yourself. If you sleep too much, it's because you gave yourself to it. Are you following me? If that's your pattern, if that's your life, it's because that's what you are beholding. You cannot behold the world, and you will not become the world. You can't. Are you following me? But because what scriptures told us is that we all beholding. Mind you, it didn't say we all beheld. It said we all beholding. Alright? It's a continuous reality. We are beholding. As we are beholding, what happens to us is that there's a chemistry in the spirit that makes us become what we are beholding. Alright? To you, nothing seems happening, or nothing seems to be happening, right? To you. In fact, sometimes when you study the world, you do not feel anything. It doesn't answer to feelings, all right? It answers to life. Life. You don't have to feel. You don't have to feel goosebumps, all right? You don't have to feel the anointing. No, sir. But there's something happening to you in the spirit called a metamorphosis. A metamorpho. You are transformed into what you are beholding. Are you following me? These things look minute, but they are the crow. What best language can I use? They are the crux of spiritual vitality. The crux. Alright? You see, I want to say something to you. Don't advance. When it comes to God, don't become advanced. Are you me? Don't become what? Well, as long as it is God, don't become what? Advanced. Because when you become advanced, it's dangerous to your spirit health. If you say me, I've advanced, my level has changed now. There's something wrong with you. Are you following me? When it comes to God, you can advance with a man, but not God, sir. You know why? Because even the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man. It's foolishness. It's folly. Let's assume that it's foolish. The Bible says what? That even that foolishness is what? Is wiser than the wisdom of men. Listen to me. It is folly for a man to look for an axe with a wood. That's folly. Say, I'm not interested, prophet. Don't worry. If you are not interested, you will not expand. Because what happened to them is that where they were becoming too shallow. And an axe head fell into the tree. The prophet came and gave the prophet, said, give me a stick. That's foolishness. But the foolishness of God is wiser than what? That means the understanding of God can never be exhausted, even in eternity to come. Alright? Because his wisdoms are unfolded gradually in bits and fragments. His wisdoms are unfolded in bits and fragments. His wisdoms are unfolded in bits and fragments. His wisdoms are unfolded gradually. That's why we gather every time and we teach you the word, and every day there's a newness. Is that true?
Yes,
there's a newness. If I teach today now, I teach on Saturday, I teach on Saturday again, I teach Tuesday, there will be a dimension of newness to everything we say. Alright? In fact, some of them, it's not because you have not heard before, but when I speak it, life exudes out of you again. Is that true? Some of you, many of the scriptures that we quote, you have read them. But when we speak it, there's a life that backs up our utterances, that makes it more amplified. That you see that again, say, my eyes are opened again. Is that true? It's because there's a spirit backing up our utterances. Alright? So you cannot become advanced with God in that light. Because every time he speaks, there's a newness of dimension. Alright? They are new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness. They are new every morning. It's an inexhaustible dimension of revelatory reality. That a man can never at any point in your journey in time and even in eternity will be able to exhaust. It's practically impossible. Alright? That's why you cannot be tired of the world. You don't say, let me sit at home. No, sir. Everywhere the world is happening in accuracy, it is expedient that you sit down and you learn. Alright? Because that's how you can replicate the culture of what you are hearing. Alright? The replication is traceable to your hearing and your doing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wow. So I just charged us just to whet our appetite. Hallelujah. You know why? Because we are doing something basic, very important, but to us it's basic, all right? Because, you know, now our receptacles have been opened up to maybe deep dimension, all right? So when we bring basic theologies, there's a way we vet it. Say, no, this one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you me? You know, some people say, I can't even feel the pastor. As the pastor become, amen, I can't feel him. I can't. Hallelujah. So he has become a feeling. You see, listen to me. The church is not a club. Are you me? No, it's not a club. You can go and feel things in club. All right? But when it comes to the church, you are changed. All right? You are what? You are changed. It's not a club. You can't say I don't feel a man. All right? As long as in the teaching of that man, the man mentions Jesus. Even if his voice is so low, all right? Even if he's not the kind of person I am, you cannot say, I don't know, I can't feel him. There's a way his teaching is not, as long as the man is accurate, man, mind my word, all right? Mind my word. I'm not talking about people who are outside the throwing, all right? Amen? Yeah, you know you can be outside the throwing. And people who are outside the throwing, they are not relevant. Have you seen any commentator mention the name of a fan? Commentator mention the name of a fan. They only mention the name of those who are in the pitch or the coaching crew. All right, they don't just look for any out person and say, that's Samuel Adetogun. All right, they don't know you. Amen. But there's nobody on the pitch that the commentator doesn't know, because those set of persons are relevant to him. Is that true?
Yes, sir.
So there are people outside throwing. But I'm talking about people who are accurate, that you cannot say I can't feel him. You know, some of us, we have even locked up our hearts to some kind of preachers. Say, no. But even the hand, we learn from the heart. In fact, when it comes to wisdom, Jesus told us that we can borrow the wisdom of the serpent. Is that true? Be wise as the serpent and be gentle as doves. That means you can borrow the wisdom of animals. That was why Brother Job was talking about seven things. Right? And he began to mention the name of animals. One of them is ants. He was showing us the wisdom of ants. Are you following me? That means a minister of God can be small like an ant, but you can learn from him. Are you following me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So tonight, we are doing amenities. Do you know amenities? Ooh, the way they are looking at me. We are doing amenetics, alright? H-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-T-I-C.